The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Century 21.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Welcome in to a Monday edition of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Field and Matthew hanging with you on a Monday. And I have a thought. So we're obviously okay. Live stream right now on Twitter, YouTube, ESPN's Fantasy Facebook page, the ESPN app through the Watch tab. A lot of options, right?
MySpace, TikTok. My kids' TikTok page.
How are they on the TikTok?
They love it? No, they do. I don't.
Right, I agree with
you. I actually have banned my daughters, my 7-year-old daughters, from TikTok. Banned them. Candidly, we probably don't want to get into this.
No, they're not the right age demo yet.
They're not. And they are on the restricted mode for YouTube, and we monitor their YouTube usage.
Gotcha. Is Fantasy Focus on the? Are we restricted? Or are we available?
I would hope so. Okay. I would hope so. We're not appropriate.
You
for
are
children.
A little bit of a sailor sometimes when it comes to the way that you
I'm just.
Curse.
Anyway, I just whatever. YouTube is not a place where I love having. You know, I'll just say My kids have said some stuff that I don't love.
Okay,
and
they've
learned it from YouTube.
I got it. So maybe sometimes YouTube does a little bit too much. But what I was going to say
is, sir,
I wish somehow there was a way that we could capture some of the pre-show stuff that happens on the podcast. Because if
we don't? I feel like we do.
I wish we did. Because I feel like every day as we enter the podcast, we have some excellent... Daniel's shaking his head. So maybe have we done something wrong?
No, you guys are doing a great job so far.
Okay, thank you. Anyways, I like my dancing pre-show. But that is neither here... nor there. We've got a bunch of football to get to. Matthew, I am sorry. Your Redskins lost yesterday. Are you okay? Are you holding up? Are you hanging in one quarter of the way through the season? I get nervous about you sometimes.
I appreciate that. No, I'm tired. Like, I couldn't sleep last night. I actually stayed up till about 5 a.m. and just... And what it wasn't about the Redskins. I'm okay with the Redskins.
Really?
Yeah. Here's why. I'm resigned to it. The whole thing is awful. It's a disaster situation. And so my belief is that if you, and I don't know what the record is, maybe Thirsty Kyle, maybe you can look this up. We'll when we get to the Haskins section, we'll get into it.
All right, we'll
more,
talk about Dwayne Haskins.
But just, like, I want to know what Bruce Allen, what the Redskins record is with Bruce Allen as the general manager. Since Bruce Allen took over as the general manager.
Are you sure
manager,
you want to know that, Matthew?
Yeah, I do. And so my belief is that, just I'll finish this thought and then we can move on. But unless it's a complete, utter disaster, a national embarrassment type disaster, and an 0-4 losing 24-3 on the road to, you know, a team that has also struggled, another rookie quarterback. It gets as pretty low as it gets, right? And then we're going to play New England next week, and we're just going to get waxed. And so,
there's technically that you might not.
Yeah. Whatever. I'll take the over on whatever the line. I don't even know what the line is.
You
want to do a board bet? I will take the over on whatever New England's line is.
Fine.
I will take the Patriots and the over.
Okay.
You want to take?
Sure. Whatever. I'll take the Redskins.
There you go.
Yeah.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board. A little week five board bet.
Put it on the board.
Someone find out what the line is. But anyway, without
15.5.
Great. So call 15.5. I will take the over.
Okay.
Give me the Patriots. I'll give you the points. All right. So after they get completely embarrassed by the Patriots.
Yeah.
Then my hope is, and it's in front of a stadium at FedEx Field, there'd be nothing but Patriots fans.
Probably true.
It'll probably either be half empty or Patriots fans.
Like, got it, yeah. Like, probably true.
So my hope is that Daniel Snyder says, okay, enough is enough. Like, we've sunk too low. Because Daniel Snyder, for all the criticism people want to make about him, and I understand, he wants to win. In a desperate way. He desperately wants to win. Now, you can argue as to whether he has taken the correct path to get there. But he wants to win. I mean, there are some owners that don't want to. They're just like, hey, this is a money thing. Like, he legitimately, desperately wants to win. And so my hope is, and I think he's been myopic in his view of Bruce Allen. And I think, my hope is that when the only way that Bruce Allen goes is if the team hits absolute rock bottom. And we're close.
That would be week six against the Dolphins.
If they don't win
that game, then all of a sudden we could see all sorts of major changes. You know something? I'm going to cut myself off. This is the last time that I ask you about the Redskins on a Monday, because I realize I've done it three straight weeks. I'm poking the bear. I am taking the bait. I'm trying to put you into a deep and dark place. And that's not fair.
We're
me
terrible.
Because...
We're a terrible franchise. Like from top to bottom. It is frustrating, but I am not abandoning ship. I'm a Redskins fan through and through. I will be till the day I die. And, you know, it's It's tough. It's
I respect
very
your
tough.
Loyalty. I respect your loyalty. Last time I asked about him, the Redskins are undefeated so far in week 5. Let's get to the football.
Rewind.
Fantasy news
from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
All righty. So we had a lot of conversations last week about Wayne Gallman filling in for Saquon Barkley. And Saquon, of course, remains out with that ankle issue. A lot of reporting yesterday about when he might return. I'll just say this. For now, we still don't know. But it won't be in week 5 when they play. I forget who they're playing right now, but that is not important for the moment. Wayne Gallman played in week 4. And Matthew, we thought he could be a flex play going into week 4. We thought we felt pretty good about that.
Yeah.
Instead, he's running back 5, pending the results of Monday Night Football between the Bengals and the Steelers. So Wayne Gallman, better than probably anybody hoped for or realistically expected. After just one game, for the duration of Wayne Gallman's tenure as a starter, which will be until Saquon Barkley returns, beginning with the Vikings this week and the Patriots in a short week after that, is Wayne Gallman set it and forget it?
No.
So what were the discouraging signs? Or is it just that, you know, it was a great matchup yesterday he exposed and his bad matchups going forward?
It's a little bit about that. I mean, yeah. So again, like Minnesota and the Patriots, you don't feel good about starting him against either one of those guys. Right. And it's also like, look, here's what's possible. It was a great matchup, right? So game script went in his favor. I mean, they were up big, you know, and they were, frankly, they never trailed. You know, he got 2 easy touchdowns. He was left wide open on a pass. That Daniel Jones, by the way, took forever to find him. I'm like, dude, he's wide open in the corner. Look over there. Turn around. Yep. Turn around. There he is. Okay, he's still wide open. Now throw it to him. You threw it behind him. All right. He turns around. He catches. He made a nice catch on it, and he runs into the end zone untouched, and then he fell into the end zone for the second one. So does he get those opportunities going forward? Yeah, listen, if there's something you want to hang your hat on, it's the amount of work that he got in this one, right? So he had 18 carries and 6 catches in week 4, right? The only running for the through the first 3 weeks of the season, the only running backs to get 18 carries and 6 catches in a game, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Christian McCaffrey. Like, it's rarefied air that we're talking about here. So the usage is pretty insane. So I think you don't love the matchups. It was a great matchup. You don't love the matchups, but volume there I think helps. And the fact of the matter is that against the Patriots and the Vikings, they'll maybe potentially there's some junk time. And I think the fact that he's used in the passing game as much as he was certainly helps, especially when you think about a rookie quarterback who's looking around trying to find a guy. I think we had him as a high end flex play coming into this week. Yeah. He did make the love list. He was on the love list coming into the week, and that worked out. But I would say he's an RB2 until Barkley comes back.
Right. Here's what I would
do. So I've moved him up somewhat, but I'm not ready to say, like, oh, he said it and forget it. There's no way I'm not even. But yeah, there's fantasy value to be had.
I feel better about him being an RB2 going forward, even if it is bad matchups, because you're right. I mean, TJ Yeldon had 4 catches yesterday against the Patriots, and that was a game that was close. Like, if you think the game between the Giants and the Patriots is not close, or the Giants and the Vikings will not be close, which we'll get to Minnesota later on, then maybe you feel like there's enough passing game involvement for Wayne Gallman. I also think, and I know that a lot of the people that listen to this podcast are very reasonable and level-headed, and probably some of the more informed listeners and viewers and players of ESPN Fantasy, but there is a lot of emotion involved in fantasy football, and sometimes emotion leads to rash decisions. The reason I mention that is if you rostered Wayne Gallman after last week, wouldn't be the worst time in the world to try to get a trade. Trade away Wayne Gallman, because you might be able to pick up a player that is somewhat struggling but has better season-long value. I'm just making this up here. For example, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody were to try to trade Wayne Gallman for Devontae Freeman. And I know Devontae has been bad, but at least you know for Devontae Freeman, you've got, you know, 13 more weeks of utility as compared to maybe 3 weeks of Wayne Gallman.
Yeah. I think I'd try to aim a little bit higher than Devontae
Freeman.
Just
the first example that came to mind.
I certainly get it. You know, and I'd be interested in, if I had Wayne Gallman, I didn't have Barkley, depending on what what your record is and what else you have to trade, like, I would try to acquire Barkley.
Not a bad call.
You know what I mean? Like, try to acquire Barkley on the cheap. Whatever you trade for Barkley now, it's not what you would have to have traded in week 2.
Yeah. I guess my simple point was that, like, maybe take advantage of the value catapulting to where it did on Sunday.
I would agree with that.
Not the only Giant that we were keeping our eyes on, by the way, because Daniel Jones made his second start for the Giants. He finishes with 12.3 fantasy points, his second week as the starter. Now, both of us had probably rosier outlooks for Daniel Jones that he wound up with against the Redskins. I think that we learned a little bit about Daniel Jones, Matthew, but I think maybe what's maybe more important is maybe what it means for one of his pass catchers in particular. Daniel Jones had two interceptions, struggled with ball security in general yesterday, probably could have had three interceptions pretty easily.
Yeah. But the Giants got up big. They had a pick six.
Sure,
so
there were things that, yes, exactly. So I would expect him to have some of those up and down games.
Right. If there's a positive from Daniel Jones, 33 yards rushing.
Yep.
And so I think what he is in the right matchup, and you could argue since the Redskins should have been the right matchup,
yeah.
But I think he is a viable streamer.
Yep.
Which is what we said last week. Like we didn't say he was going to, like, you're not starting him against the Vikings. You're not starting him against the Patriots, you know, but like in the right matchup, you could certainly see starting him.
And just a reminder to people, it gets really thin, especially if you play in a league that has more than 10 teams in it, 12 teams or larger. It gets really thin starting about week 7 when it comes to bye weeks. There are a couple weeks in there with 6 teams on a bye. So if you catch the wrong week, you've got a week where there's a bunch of solid teams on bye. Daniel Jones would have some value. But what maybe intrigues me the most, Matthew, is, and maybe this is recency bias, and I'll be the first to admit if it turns out to be the recency bias, but does Sterling Shepard look like more of a star now than we've ever seen him in his career? This is his fourth year in the NFL, and the Giants liked him enough to give him a 4-year extension this offseason at pretty good money. Some of us, myself included, were like, interesting. He's looked every bit the part of the player they made the investment in. He had 7 catches.
Is that the same reaction, by the way, when you heard ESPN extended me? Is this kind of like, interesting?
A little more resignation when I heard that you were extended. Maybe befuddlement.
Fair. Understood.
But,
puzzlement.
But just a little bit
disappointment,
of joy.
A little bit of disappointment.
A little bit of joy. I like to keep it in the family.
Fair.
Shepard, 7 for 76, plus a carry for 23 yards. Good enough for 16.9 fantasy points. Over the past 2 weeks, of course, both weeks that Daniel Jones started, wide receiver 5, again, pending Monday Night Football tonight. He's got a 28% target share. Is he a possible wide receiver 1 the rest of the way with Daniel Jones as his quarterback? Too audacious?
Is he you sold me because you used the word possible.
So I gave you an out.
Yeah, is he a possible? Yeah, of course he is.
Right.
Again, like you're talking about a guy, like to your point, almost a 30% target share on a team that is going to throw, that we don't think is particularly good. Like, do I think he's a wide receiver 1 next week against the Vikings? Of course I don't.
Right.
But
against the Patriots, probably not.
Probably not, especially because he's probably shadowed by Gilmore. But in games in which there's, a better matchup.
Right, they've got 2 more against the Eagles.
Right.
They've got 1 against the Redskins. I'm sure there are other favorable, positive matchups going forward.
So, yeah, I mean, because, again, they're going to have to throw. He's the number one guy. Like, I mean, it's him and Ingram. Like, now, it's interesting. So, next week, and I'm sure he makes your free agent fines column, but Golden Tate.
He does not. He was not available in enough leagues to make
Interesting.
People were smart. But Golden Tate, good point here, because he does return this week, or he's eligible to return this week after a 4-game suspension.
So is it possible? Sure. But given the fact that we're both sitting here saying, like, I don't think I'm starting him against the Vikings or the Patriots next week, right?
Yeah.
The next 2 weeks. I'm probably not starting him. Like, if I had other options, other viable options, like, my initial thought is, I'm probably ranking him somewhere in the 25 to 35 range against the Vikings.
Fair.
Okay, so, and if you're, like, to me...
Well, the Vikings have been a little bit less reliable against receivers this year than we're expecting them
this
to.
This is
like,
true.
Xavier Rhodes does not look like himself right now.
No. He's lost a step. Like, it's no longer Rhodes closed. It's more like Rhodes are sort of windy.
Right, detours.
Like, yeah, detours. Yeah. Like, you can still get there. It'll take you a little bit longer, but, like, it's not close.
It's not like Farmington to Bristol. Where,
right.
Like, it's impossible to find. People
to find.
Literally have never found it.
Exactly. Yes. It's not like that. So I guess, no, he's not a wide receiver 1, right? If we're just sitting here saying, like, we would consider benching him. Because, like, you think about, like, Julio Jones against the Vikings. You're starting Julio, right? You
know, right. Understood.
Yeah. So he's not there yet. Could he be? There is potential there.
Not the only quarterback to make his second start that has maybe more of an impact on the pass catchers than even...
But Evan Ingram is. I mean, Evan Ingram is a top 5 top fantasy tight end.
Yeah, depth at the position is weak, and he's certainly a player that's, in any given week, can go off like he did in week 3 wasn't amazing last week, but still good enough in week four for 9.4 fantasy points. So another quarterback making his second start of the season is Kyle Allen, player that we've been optimistic about. Not a great day at the office for Kyle Allen in some ways. Three fumbles lost, which contributed to just 3.2 fantasy points. But if you look at how he was addressed on waivers, that's fine. It's fine. Don't worry. I'm taking
I had him on the love list. Bad call.
Can't win them all. So if you look at how he was approached on waivers, he's still available in almost 90% of leagues. So very few people were counting on Kyle Allen as a weekly starter. So I don't think that the takeaway from yesterday is like, you guys told me to play Kyle Allen and oh my God, he screwed me. No. But there is a question mark about how his play contributes to DJ Moore's value. I think maybe DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel's play over the past 2 weeks is what will be most discussed in fantasy football circles as it pertains to Kyle Allen. DJ Moore yesterday had three catches for 44 yards. Curtis Samuel, three catches for 32 yards. Over the past 2 weeks, neither of them has been better than wide receiver 34. Do we think it's possible? We said we thought that maybe the passing game would get better with Cam Newton.
With Kyle Allen over
Cam Newton. Did we misjudge this one?
Perhaps. Yes and no.
Okay.
So we misjudged it in the fact that we thought they would improve. I actually think the passing game is better. This was a tough game. Like the offensive line, and they had some injuries there as well. Yeah. You know, they had some backups in, but Houston played well defensively. Like, give the Texans credit. It was a hard fought defensive battle on both sides of the ball. Look, ultimately, like, you don't love the turnovers, but Kyle Allen, 24 for 34, 232 yards. And by the way, they won on the road. I feel like. If you're Ron Rivera and Norv Turner, he's 2-0 as a starter this year, 3-0 in his NFL career as a starter. Like, you feel okay with Kyle Allen. A lot of teams that lose their starter aren't as in good a shape as I believe the Carolina Panthers are with Kyle Allen under center. Having said that, your concern, I think, is well-founded here. So DJ Moore specifically, right? His target share with Cam Newton, 27%.
Yep.
So almost 28%, 27 point. DJ Moore's target share under Cam Newton this year was 28%. DJ Moore's target share with Kyle Allen this year, 12%.
So I have one retort, because I am somewhere in between, like, super concerned and also not acknowledging the difference. The first two games of the season, they play competitive from behind games.
Right.
They've been playing with a lead or playing a very tight game like yesterday over the past 2 weeks. I wonder if part of the reason why DJ Moore saw so many targets in week one and week two was because they were losing that game against the Rams and then losing that game against Tampa Bay on the short week that they had to throw it, even in the gross weather that week against Tampa Bay. Feels like maybe the past 2 weeks, you know, they've gotten off, you know, they beat a bad Arizona team.
Sure.
They go to Houston and beat, you know, I think a team we believe will be pretty good in Houston, but they sort of grind it out. I wonder if that's maybe more of the problem.
It could be. And by the way, you have an inexperienced quarterback, you know, who's only made three NFL starts. And so maybe Norv Turner's play call is like, you know what? I want to play it close to the chest. Let me dumb it down, so to speak. And no insult to Kyle Allen, but let me call it a conservative game. Let me try to, you know, our best player is Christian McCaffrey, like a lot of dump offs to him.
Amazing.
And, you know, and McCaffrey had an amazing game. And by the way, it worked.
Yeah.
They grinded out a win here on the road. But to that point, 28% to 12% is a very significant drop. Curtis Samuel, again, target share, with Cam Newton this year, 19.8% with Kyle Allen, 24%. So maybe some optimism for Curtis Samuel that isn't necessarily there with DJ Moore. Like, I think coming into the season, there was so much preseason hype on Curtis Samuel, and DJ Moore's ADP sort of started to drop as people were like, oh, Curtis Samuel's having the amazing camp, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, Cam Newton the first 2 weeks, and you're like, okay, well, it's back to the DJ Moore show. You prefer him to Curtis Samuel. But there may have been a little bit of a reverse here in the last 2 weeks.
I think that's fine. Yeah, I think
it's probably too small a sample size,
though. That's why my ending takeaway is that, like, I'll probably still consistently rank DJ Moore ahead of Curtis Samuel. I think he's just a more explosive player. Mm. And then I'll probably lower them a little bit depending on the matchup each week. So we'll see. And by the way, we could have a lot of Kyle Allen going forward.
Sure.
So Cam Newton, over on Friday evening it was, released a video, a vlog actually, was it?
Yeah.
Was what he described.
Tell people
it
what this is for people that didn't see this.
Cam Newton tweeted it out. It was a YouTube video. And it was Cam Newton just addressing the camera by himself, cigar lit in hand.
With a glass of wine,
glass of red wine also in hand. So Cam was clearly relaxed and enjoying himself, having a nice little
Secret
Friday
Squirrel,
evening.
Get me a cigar and a glass of red wine so I can address the camera here on the show.
Nope.
I would like that going forward.
When you get to Cam level, I'll get you one of those guys.
I don't know. So buy yourself a scarf. It might be on the right track.
Get yourself a hat and a scarf, and then I'll consider it.
Bow tie, maybe?
A hat and a scarf.
Superman t-shirt?
That works too. T-shirt.
If I wear a hat and scarf on the air tomorrow, can I drink on air?
If you
and
wear
hold a cigar,
hat, a scarf, and you have spandex pants on with a Superman t-shirt, you can have a cigar and a glass of wine on the show tomorrow.
Now that's
Thirsty
incentive,
Kyle, buy me
right
all those
there.
Things. Yeah. Thirsty Kyle, make a note. We're going to buy all those things tomorrow.
So here's the like that. I would just say that we'll talk about Cam more. I'm sure Stefania will want to chime in on Wednesday when she's back on the podcast. Basically, his message was, "I'm going to get back to 100%." That's going to take as long as it needs to take. And it was, don't expect me to be rushed back. We have confidence in Kyle. And if it takes me a few more weeks, it might take him a few. That was my read into it. It's like, he did not give a timetable, but I would say just be patient here with Cam Newton. If you haven't
read into it, my read into it, and I'm probably reading way too much into it, and this gets away from fantasy and just real football. My read into it was like, this is a guy that it's the injury is only a piece of this. I think there's something mental going on, and I don't mean that in any kind of insulting way. I don't mean that in any kind of like that there's, quote, anything wrong with him. I mean that in the sense that I feel like he feels both physically and mentally beat up. That there was a weariness, in my opinion.
Possible,
right?
The
only reason that this is in my mind is like, again, and I'm not suggesting anything. Like, this is no hot take or anything like that. This is just this conversation. But, like, I think about Andrew Luck. Right, who again retired at the prime of his career because he just couldn't take it anymore. He just the beatings on his body and just his body just quit on him in some way. Like Andrew Luck is super tough, and Cam Newton is insanely tough. I mean, we've seen this guy like get into a massive car accident, and 2 weeks later, the guy's back out on the field. Like, I am not questioning Cam Newton's toughness in any way, shape, or form here, Field. But I'm not also suggesting that he's going to announce his retirement in 2 weeks. I'm not saying that either. But
if he does, you had it first.
Yeah, right. I had it first on Twitter. No, like in all seriousness, like I just don't you feel did you get a little Andrew Luck feel here?
It was
Am
a little
I crazy
bit,
on this?
So but here's the part that I don't know how to read into it is that this is the first time, or maybe not the first time, but you know, we are now in this era where we have so much more access to athletes that we have a glimpse into their mindset.
Right.
Whereas it might be that what Cam is thinking is actually he's actually going through the normal cadence of what other athletes would be thinking about or have thought about at this point in their recovery. They just didn't have a YouTube video blog to convey those thoughts to us publicly. Cam also, I think, you know, I think it's obvious. And again, I don't mean this as a pejorative in a pejorative sense, but like Cam cares about his brand. He cares about the Cam Newton brand. And like part of caring about the brand is consistently producing content. And when you're not playing on the football field, the best way to produce content is to put it out on your personal channel. So anyways, let's just settle here. It might be a while before Cam Newton returns. Could be the Kyle Allen show for quite some time.
It could be. Just real quickly, though, in terms of concern about DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel and this Panthers offense that isn't Chris McCaffrey or Greg Olsen. I mean, again, Greg Olsen, even in a bad game last week, is still the sixth best tight end since Kyle Allen took over. So Greg Olsen's fine. As long as he's healthy, you're starting him. He's a tight end one. But here's our upcoming schedule.
Okay.
Jacksonville.
Yep, not easy.
Then they play Tampa Bay in London.
I'll take it.
Again, a better defense than I think we've been giving them credit for, right?
Number one rush defense in the NFL.
Absolutely. Then they have a bye week.
Yeah.
Then they're at San Francisco. Niners have been a
Jury's
better
out for me, but better. Yes.
A better defense. I mean, we thought they were a brutal defense, and so they're at least middle of the pack.
Right.
And then versus Tennessee. Pretty good Titans defense. So it's not like a great schedule coming up here, and so you're still starting CMC, you're still starting Olsen, but I think you're going to have to make decisions on on Moore and Samuel going forward during the schedule. And I do think you're going to have to make decisions on Kyle Allen to the extent you use him like in a deeper league, a two quarterback league.
All right. So let's get to Dwayne Haskins now, who did enter the game for the Redskins yesterday after Case Keenum was both struggling and apparently also a little bit banged up. That foot issue, we know, kept him off the practice field for one day last week. I know, it was frustrating, Matthews. Let me just give you the read, and then you can react and be emotional.
Sure.
Dwayne Haskins yesterday, 9 for 17, 117 yards, 3 interceptions,
plus two carries for 23 yards. That amounts to 0.5 fantasy points. Not great. But what do we learn, if anything, about the offense with Dwayne Haskins, who, by the way, has not been named a starter for Week 5, and as a matter of fact,
shouldn't be.
He probably won't be. The tea leaves this morning suggest it will not be Dwayne Haskins, and it should not be. You're right. If they put
he shouldn't have played in that game.
He should not have played in that game yesterday, and if they play him this week, Matthew, it's borderline malpractice.
I agree.
If you put a quarterback...
He's not ready. He's not ready. The team's right. Not ready. Put a guy in a position to succeed, Field.
Correct. Yes.
And they didn't. And by the way, just, you know, it's a team I follow closely. I'll just say this. And I know a lot of people...
Your team.
I know
a lot of
people on the team, around the team. And, like, the word out of Washington, you follow people that cover the team closely and do great work covering that team.
Sure.
The word was that the coaching staff did not feel Dwayne Haskins was ready. Talking to other players, that they're like, oh, he'll make some plays. Like, we get why this guy was a first round pick. We see the arm strength. We see the accuracy. We get why this kid is going to be special in this league. He's not there yet.
Sure.
He's not there yet. And so, and given no Trent Williams, Brandon Scherff was out, their starting center was out. It's like a backup offensive line. Their best wide receiver, Terry McLaurin, and his college teammate, not out there.
Jordan Reed,
not out there. Darius Geis, not out there. And so, they should have let Case Keenum throw seven picks. I don't care, I have no idea why people were like, I get it, he's a rookie and you got to do something, but, he's not ready and the team's not ready. And I agree. I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying this, that follow the team or fans that follow the team. And y'all going to ruin Dwayne Haskins, aren't y'all? Was a tweet that somebody sent to me. And I'm like, maybe. And I hope not, because I love Dwayne Haskins. I love the draft pick. And I think he's got a very bright NFL future. But he had no business being in that game. He has no business playing against the New England Patriots. Case Keenum should start. And if Case Keenum can't start, if Colt McCoy is healthy enough, I could see him getting a start because Jay Gruden really likes him and he knows the offense. But it's awful. And Thirsty Kyle looked this up. Since Bruce Allen took over as the general manager of the Washington Redskins, they are 59-88-1.
Yeah, terrible.
They have a 40.2% win percentage. A 40.2 win percentage. Here's who's worse.
Okay.
Since the time.
Browns. Okay. That's all I got.
Raiders.
Okay.
Buccaneers.
Oof.
Jaguars.
Yeah, not great company to be in.
So only four teams in the NFL have been worse than Bruce Allen and the Washington Redskins since he took over as the general manager. And how many years is that, Thirsty Kyle? When did he take over?
It's got to be...
In 2010.
In 2010.
So this is his 10th season as the president/general manager of the Redskins. Yeah, I mean, Matthew.
Oversees everything. It's personnel, it's business operations, it's the whole thing.
I have a lot of fun having fun at your expense, Matthew. I don't even want to have fun at your expense right now because the Redskins stink. They're going nowhere. They're rudderless. And I think that there are a lot of people at the top of that organization that are not anywhere close to figuring it out. And I feel bad to be honest with you, Jay Gruden. I feel bad for Dwayne Haskins. I feel bad for a lot of players on that team that are working incredibly hard to try to go out there and be put in a spot to win on Sundays.
Look, Jay Gruden is not a bad coach. Listen, their defense has really underperformed this year, and that's on Greg Minuski, and ultimately that's on Jay Gruden because he hired Greg. But, Jay's a good coach. If you watch that game, the plays that Jay was calling, one of the reasons they benched Case Keenum wasn't necessarily the turnovers, but he missed two wide-open bombs. They had 50-yard touchdowns that if he just hits the guy in stride, if he gets him anywhere near it, it's a huge play, and he just overthrew it in a massive, massive way. And again, that's not on – Jay Gruden's trying to coach up who he's been given to play with.
Yeah.
Case Keenum is who Bruce Allen has given him as his starting quarterback. And so, and obviously the Alex Smith injury was awful. I still don't know why Byron Marshall was in on that play. And failed to pick up the blitz. But anyway,
get it out. We're getting it out. By the way, it's only a $50 copay for each session you hang out.
I'll be happy to pay that.
All right.
But anyway, in terms of fantasy, In terms of fantasy.
Hold on. You said it right there. Everything that you just said exemplifies what the fantasy value would be for Dwayne Haskins and the pass catchers. There's only one player you trust. It's Terry McLaurin. And you just hope he gets healthy and they play the Patriots next week. So you still might not want to play
because
him if
he's probably
going to
be covered by Gilmore. Shadowed by Gilmore. So it's like, anyway, it's just, but I'm literally rooting for this. This is what the Redskins have driven me to. And I'm curious for those of you who are legitimate Redskins fans, tweet at me at Matthew Berry TMR. I'm curious what they think about this. I want them to lose every game. Look, they're 0-4. They're not making the playoffs.
That's correct.
I don't want them to be respectable. Like, obviously, like, and they are so far away from being, and they should have, like, they had high hopes coming into the season.
Yeah,
so
you're right. So
I want them, I want them, I want it to burn to the ground. I want them to lose every game. I want to have a very high draft pick. I want to win the Tua Bowl
and
then have the number one pick, and then people are going to have to, you know, Dolphins have a lot of picks.
They do.
They can trade up one to get Tua.
That's right. So, two thoughts here.
Yes, sir.
One, last time we talked about the Redskins and the misery for a while, we'll talk about fantasy stuff going forward.
I'm answering questions I'm asked.
Two, yeah. I have decided to arbitrarily assign you a new team for the rest of the season. Congratulations, Matthew.
Oh, boy.
You're a Lions fan. You and
Hell
Daniel.
No.
Yeah.
No.
2-1-1.
I am not a Lions fan.
Let me tell you about ZipRecruiter because hiring can be a slow process.
I'm open to another team, though. Okay. I'm open to a secondary team. I need a handcuff for my Redskins.
Congratulations. You're a 49ers fan. Hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company. He was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So, he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. One more time for the people in the back, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Baker Mayfield was down in our rankings this past week. Matthew, we were down on Baker Mayfield. We said, you know what? If you needed to, you could drop him. As a matter of fact, this guy right here, me, your boy, Field Yates, I dropped him in a league, picked up a different quarterback to play. My powers couples league, that's the league I play with Chapin, and we play on a team together, which we'll see if that's a
What's
good
the team name?
Yater's 28.
Yater's going to get it. I get it.
28. Yeah, that's good. So I forget, who do we pick up in this place? Whatever.
I feel like Chapin Takes the Field would have been a better.
Oh, we could switch
to
that.
I mean, it's a couple.
He's got plenty of time.
I mean, it just feels like Yater's going to get it as kind of a you thing. And I just feel like you should include Chapin in
okay.
this.
Okay. Chapin
feel
Takes
like
the Field. It is. We'll change that. Anyways.
Chapin is a Yates, though, now.
I mean, she is a Yates.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't feel like sort of a Field thing. Because we don't have Chapin t-shirts.
Chapin's going to chape or something like that.
Chapin's going to chape?
No, yeah. They have a Yater's going to Yate shirt, but instead of my face, it's Chapin's face. It's way more beautiful.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I would buy that.
You wear that?
Sure.
I got a guy.
Okay.
Anyways, did Baker Mayfield
yes, sir.
Prove that he has the chance to be your guy on a weekly basis at quarterback? Because I said last week, I'll put it on myself. I'm okay with dropping him.
Yeah.
Yesterday, 342 passing yards, a touchdown, a pick. 15.7 fantasy points. He's now all the way up to quarterback 23 for the season. So, Matthew, are we back to Baker automatically being a weekly starter?
No.
Okay.
We're certainly not.
Okay. I thought we'd end up there.
Here's what's exciting about what Baker did yesterday. He looked like Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, he played well. The offense played well. It looked like a functional offense. Like, they schemed guys open. They took advantage of the attention that Odell Beckham Jr. got. Like, now, Ravens secondary pretty banged up, right?
Yeah. Maybe just bad.
They might be bad.
Maybe not the secondary, but the defense might be bad. The secondary did not play well. You're right, though.
Yeah, they certainly didn't. But you know what? Look, you know, an offense that looked dysfunctional through the first 3 weeks of the season, even in their win against the Jets, it just did not look in sync. And it looked good yesterday. And so the concerns here are twofold. Number one, it's one game. You don't want to overreact too much. We have a 4-game sample size. We've got 3 bad, 1 good.
Right.
The other piece of it is that Nick Chubb went absolutely wild. And that offense worked so well because Nick Chubb just set everything up. And so are they going to be able to run with the effectiveness that they did in this one? Where I do think, like, if you drop Baker Mayfield and you saw him throw for almost 350 yards, you might be, oh, no, what did I do? Like, I think you're still okay. I think he's now back in the streamer conversation. I think he's now back in the QB2 conversation. I mean, even with all of what heading into Monday Night Football, even with the amount of yards that he threw for,
yep,
he's QB14.
Right.
Now, some you can argue that that's because Nick Chubb has 3 touchdowns. He only threw for one. And in other weeks, you figure that gets a little bit better. You don't expect weeks in which Odell Beckham Jr. had, what do you have, 20 yards, something like 2 for 20 or something.
Yeah, it was
insane.
A very quiet day for Odell.
Right. So you don't expect that to happen. And here's his upcoming schedule. It's not great, but it's not terrible, but it's not great. At San Francisco next week.
Yep.
I believe that's the Monday night game.
It is Monday night football
on ESPN. I'm a company man. Then home to Seattle.
Yep.
That's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. It's not a great matchup, not a terrible matchup.
Yep.
Then a bye week.
Can't play him during that.
Nope. At New England.
Can't play him during that.
No, you can't.
Well, you don't feel great about
You don't
about
feel
playing.
Great about that. Then at Denver.
You're sort of like, yeah, it's okay,
but
right?
Not...
And then home to Buffalo.
Then home to Buffalo.
So over the next 6 weeks, you feel good about the matchup maybe once. Maybe feel good.
I don't think you feel good about any of those. Which one do you feel good about?
I think Seattle, you maybe feel good about.
See, I think at San Francisco and Seattle are livable.
Okay.
And Denver, like, maybe livable. But, like, none of them you feel good about. None of them you're like, oh, woohoo, they're home to Arizona. You don't feel like that. Oh, they're home to the Redskins. Like,
yes.
You don't feel that with any of those. So I think you have, like, it's okay. And again, like, I think if I'm Freddie Kitchens, I'm looking at, like, you know what? The way this offense is going to work, we need to run the hell out of the ball. We need to run Nick Chubb and set up play action and do what we did, which is great. But they're not going to play teams that move the ball against them the way that Baltimore did. That's the other thing, too, right? So, I mean, like...
Sure.
So, anyway,
Here's what I would say.
It's a positive sign.
Yep.
Like, you feel better about Baker Mayfield and the Browns offense than you did 24 hours ago.
Yep.
But to say, like, oh, everything's forgiven, I'm fine, like, he's my QB1, I'm starting him the rest of the way, no questions asked, no, I'm not there yet.
I feel completely the same way. One thing I will say about this team, and this is not so much a fantasy observation, maybe this is more of just if this team is going to be competitive going forward, they are so much better when they are the hunters, not the hunted.
Yeah.
When the world started to doubt them, they played much better yesterday in a must win against the Ravens.
So are you saying, I'm just curious, Rex Ryan could take credit for this victory? If not Rex Ryan, do you think maybe me? Because I put Baker Mayfield on the hate list. I had Baker on the hate list this week. I said you could drop him all week. Should I get credit for the Browns
really
win?
Like Rex Ryan's line on Get Up this morning was very good.
What'd he say?
Because, of course, the Browns did acknowledge Rex a bunch after that game yesterday.
Right, in the press conference. And Rex wore an orange tie in the Browns colors, yeah.
So Rex, who is very funny, obviously, said,
Rex hilarious.
Said, I thought I was going to get a game ball. Based off how they were acknowledging him. Like, come on now. So very good stuff there from Rex. Let's move to another quarterback.
Right.
Unfortunately, we got some
You have any concerns,
news.
Real quickly, just to dismiss it. You have any concerns on Odell Beckham
Coming up later
Jr.
on in the show, we'll talk about exactly that, my
Alrighty,
friend.
Okay.
Does the absence of Mitch Trubisky hurt the Bears' passing game, Matthew? Or maybe help them? Again, not trying to make light of an injury, but left shoulder issue for Mitch.
Right.
Matt Nagy said yesterday he does not believe it's season ending. It knocked him out of the game. Chase Daniel came in. And so this might be one of those, Matthew, where it's like an inconsequential impact either way. So with Chase Daniel under center, I don't know that the passing game is much better. I don't know that it's much worse, which is an unusual thing to say when a player that was the second overall pick, 4 years ago, is your starting quarterback.
Yeah, look, here's the thing about Chase Daniel. Like, he's been in Matt Nagy's offense for a long, long time.
Very familiar.
Played at Kansas City. Obviously, he's been in Chicago now for a while. So he's fine. He's a professional NFL quarterback.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Johnny Lunchbox. Like, he is fine.
Right.
Like, do I think that Chase Daniel leads the Bears to the Super Bowl? I don't.
Probably not.
Right? Do I think he could game manage his way to the Super Bowl if the defense continues to play that way?
Yes.
Yes, I do, potentially. Sure. Like, you know, I mean, that's what they'd have to do. They'd have to improve the run game, and they just have to play lights out defense, and Chase Daniel just needs to not turn the ball over and just move the ball down the field, which, by the way, he did. So I think he doesn't have the upside of Mitchell Trubisky, but in terms of what we care about for fantasy football, do I think this is a big loss? Am I suddenly downgrading any of my Bears players? And the answer is no.
Agreed on that. Here are the numbers yesterday of some of the most notable players, by the way, with Chase Daniel under center. Allen Robinson, 7 for 77 on 7 targets. That's good. Javon Wims actually got in on the action, 4 for 56 with 5 targets. But amongst the players maybe you're a bit more concerned with, Trey Burton, 2 for 16, Tariq Cohen, 2 for 7 with a touchdown, David Montgomery, 3 for 14. Here's the reality, Matthew. We're now at one quarter of the way through the season. We can put stock into sample size now, right? In a lot of cases. Maybe not so much with 2 games of one quarterback, but 4 games now of the Bears offense. There's really one guy, two guys, I think, that 2.5 guys that you're kind of starting weekly or thinking
about.
Whoa,
just because Tariq Cohen is small doesn't mean he's a half a guy.
Well done, Daniel, but that was.
Look at you, Bengal boss. Nice.
Allen Robinson, I think we feel like he's a flex play, right? His talent is, could be wide receiver one in the right offense, but he's a flex play. David Montgomery, flex play. Tariq Cohen, flex play. Like, you're kind of like,
they're a flex play this week when they play at Oakland.
But they
were a flex play this week at Oakland.
But that's kind of what they were with Mitch Trubisky, and that's kind of what they will be going forward with Chase Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing. That offense spreads the ball around, and they create mismatches, and they try to exploit, you know, areas where they think they can win, right? Whether it's with speed or getting them open. And so my expectation here is that it's hard to... Allen Robinson's going to command a decent talent share, a target share. But there's no one that you feel great about starting. Like, again, it's all sort of matchup driven and sort of and roster construction driven and need driven. Like, hey, I got one running back banged up and I got another guy on a bye, and so okay, David Montgomery, here's hoping you can do something against Oakland. Like, right. It's one of those kind of things versus, like, here's our upcoming schedule, right? At Oakland, then they have a bye. Home to New Orleans, don't love that. Home to the Chargers, and their defense has underperformed this year, but I still think it'll be above average. At Philadelphia, that's a nice matchup. Home to the Lions, suddenly a very good Lions defense. At the Rams, like, so it's not a great schedule here for the next. Like, you're not scared of Oakland, but you know after that it gets a little
flex
bit tougher.
Flex considerations, basically, think, all the way through. Flex considerations for those three key players. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. But what we're going to do on the other side of this break is something very exciting.
Okay.
Buy or sell. Oh. Some call it the greatest segment in the history of the 06-0-1-0. Don't miss out on it. If you do.
Who is some?
Many people.
Many people?
Many, yeah. But like, seriously.
Like, define many. Is that like 2?
I said it just 5 seconds ago. Daniel told me in the pre-show meeting.
Right.
That's 2.
That's 2. That's a multiple.
I heard it. I think I also heard it somewhere else. So at least 3 people have said it. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Fantasy, you in the 06-0-1-0. Fantasy Focus.
Confirmed. The fantasy show? Very good. Good stuff there. Don't be that guy. Let's play a game of
fun.
Buy or... Yes, you do.
For the people that are listening to the podcast are like, what are you just talking about? So if you watch us live every morning, 10 a.m. Eastern... 7 a.m. Pacific. You can watch us at Fantasy Focus.
4 a.m. in Hawaii.
Sure. You can watch us on Twitter, on the Twitter there, at Fantasy Focus, unless we've blocked you. Do you know has the at Fantasy Focus account blocked anyone?
No.
Nobody. No, apparently, if you need to troll an account, apparently we have a no-block policy.
We're this close to blocking. Who was it? At Matthew
Barry? Matthew Barry, TMR. TMR.
That's perfect. What it was?
Yeah, TMR.
We're real close to it.
Yep. In any event,
just mute me.
You can watch us in a lot of places.
Right, the ESPN YouTube channel, the ESPN Fantasy Facebook page,
yep,
and then, of course, the ESPN app.
So during the show, we take a quick break, as you hear on the podcast audio version, and we play a clip from the fantasy show. It's time now to play a game of buy or sell. It's pretty simple. Guys who yesterday were surprisingly good, or maybe more than yesterday. Buy or sell. I'm going to tee the first one up to myself. Jarvis Landry, 8 catches for 167 yards, and Relentless Moments, brought to you by Century 21, overviewing Mr. Landry, career high, Career high, 167 receiving yards. Now, he did leave with a concussion yesterday, late in the game, but his 167 receiving yards were six more than he had during the entire season. And again, for those of you that are watching the live stream, you might notice, as I move my mic out of the way, that I'm wearing a Jarvis Landry Bless Him shirt. It's pretty sweet.
Bless him.
So that tells you what I'm thinking on this one. I am buying Jarvis Landry. And part of it was actually rooted in what Sal Palantonio told us yesterday on Fantasy Football Now. I'll probably butcher this stat, but I'll get the crux of it, which is yesterday Sal Pal noted that amongst players, I believe, with 20 or more targets, Jarvis Landry had the lowest catch percentage in the NFL. Like, it was one of those where, like, he's getting a lot of looks, they're not converting. Part of that's on the quarterback, maybe a little bit of that is on the receiver as well. Presuming Jarvis Landry gets back healthy, am I saying he's going to be wide receiver five every week? Of course not. But the expectations coming into the season for me with Jarvis Landry were that he could be a top 25 play in most weeks. And I believe that to be viable, assuming, again, if he misses 3 weeks, then it's a problem. But if he is okay from this concussion, and we certainly hope it is, then I am buying the idea of Jarvis Landry having a chance as a top 25 play on a week-to-week basis.
You are much more optimistic than I am.
Good.
I think Jarvis Landry is a much better NFL receiver. Like, he's very talented. I think he's a much better NFL receiver than I think he will be consistent fantasy asset. I will take the under on top 25 the rest of the season.
The rest of the way. So let's wait until we know more about the concussion before we try to wager anything.
From whatever time he comes back, whether it's week five or week eight, whenever he comes back, from the time that he comes back until the end of the season, I say Jarvis Landry is not a top 25 wide receiver.
I say Jarvis Landry is a top 25 wide receiver upon his return for the rest of the season. Put it on the board!
Put it on the board.
All right, another one here. Look, my concern here is, like, this massive game came in a great matchup where Odell Beckham Jr. was completely shut down.
Yep.
And I think, like what we talked about earlier with Baker Mayfield, right? So it's not a great schedule. It gets easier in the second half of the season. They actually have a great schedule in the second half of the year. But for this next little stretch, they don't have a great stretch. I don't think he gets nearly the target volume that he needs because he's not going to be a big touchdown scorer. And I don't think you have a game where Odell Beckham Jr. goes 2 for 20 ever again. And so I think they go more run heavy. And then when they're throwing it, I think they're throwing it to Beckham a lot more.
So let's, okay, fair enough. We have our bet. We know where I feel on this one. Let's move things forward. A.J. Brown for the Titans had his second big game of the season. 3 catches for 94 yards with a pair of touchdowns. Buying or selling, Matthew?
I'm selling. This is a bummer for me. Look, coming out of college, don't tell Terry McLaurin this, but coming out of college, A.J. Brown was my favorite prospect coming into the NFL draft this year.
Agreed.
Like,
yeah,
just,
I liked him a lot.
Loved this kid and just pops off the film, right? And we've seen it. We've seen flashes of why, I was, and it's obviously I'm not alone. I mean, the guy was, a second-round pick. Why so many people liked A.J. Brown. The problem here is that he goes to Tennessee where he's got Marcus Mariota. Even in it's still a run-heavy offense, right? Since the beginning of last year, they're third in rush percentage, right? He has yet to see more than 5 targets in a game so far this season. He's yet to catch more than 3 passes in a game so far this year. Like, it's just not, the volume isn't there. Like, he made 2 unbelievable plays in this game, and I thought this was more indicative of, the Falcons defense, they're so banged up. Like, you may want to start, borderline guys against the Falcons moving forward, but whereas I love A.J. Brown in Dynasty, and I would love A.J. Brown if he was on a team where I had more confidence in the quarterback, I am selling this. I don't think he finishes, a top 5 fantasy wide receiver that he was this week. For the season, he's wide receiver 42. Look at his upcoming schedule. The Bills at Denver, home to the Chargers, home to the Buccaneers, and then at Carolina. Those are a bunch of pretty good defenses coming up.
Zach Pascal had 4 catches for 72 yards yesterday, sort of taking over for T.Y. Hilton in part after T.Y. Hilton missed yesterday's game.
And by the way, this is a nice call by you because when we heard on Fantasy Football Now, we said, T.Y. Hilton was declared officially out, and we're talking about what do we do with the pass catchers, right? And I had mentioned that Jack Doyle had actually run the most routes after T.Y. Hilton, but that I felt it was sort of kind of like, you know, who knows? Is it him? Is it going to be Deion Kane? Who's it going to be? And you said, I will choose Zach Pascal.
Now, my reasoning was kind of flimsy. I just said, like, he was the guy that scored a touchdown last week, so might as well ride the hot hand here. He is wide receiver 28 over the past 2 weeks, and yet I am selling. Because T.Y. Hilton, he was at least on the radar for playing yesterday. Obviously, he did not play, but that suggests to me it won't be a prolonged absence for T.Y. Hilton. And with T.Y. Hilton on the field this season, Zach Pascal has one target on 20 routes run this year. So when T.Y. is there, Zach Pascal is essentially a reserve-level player. I suspect T.Y. Hilton will be back soon.
Especially, this is also a team that wants to, you know, normally will be run-heavy.
Against the Chiefs next week, I can imagine they'll run it plenty. All right, Matthew, last one here. There is one player in the NFL, just one, who has scored a receiving touchdown in all four games this year, Mr. Tyrell Williams. For the Raiders, what do you think?
Buying-ish? Can I rent?
I guess, but yeah, you can rent. But I suppose it's like, are you buying him as a wide receiver two the rest of the way?
I'd feel more comfortable as a wide receiver three. Look, the touchdowns are great, right? But here's his reception count by week. 6, 5, 3, and 3.
Yep.
Now, they were up big in this game. They didn't need to throw.
Right.
You know, I mean, and it's a very narrow target tree, right? It's him and Darren Waller.
Yep.
I mean, they did, whatever. Foster Moreau caught a touchdown, but whatever. Like, when they throw, and they're going to be having to throw more often than not, it is Tyrell Williams and Darren Waller and Darren Waller and Tyrell Williams. Like, that's their target tree. So, from that point, even though it doesn't show up sort of in the box score here yet, you know, again, 3 receptions each of the last 2 games, under 50 receiving yards in 3 straight, doesn't have a 20-yard catch in any of those 3 games. Like, and this is a guy where the deep ball was actually part of his skill set in San Diego when he played for the Chargers and they played there. So, there's definitely warning signs. There's definitely some red flags that, like, again, if he's not getting into the end zone, the fantasy value is almost nil. But I do believe that he is going to, you know, continue to get a lot of red zone looks, that this is a team that is going to throw. And I do believe he's a talented player. So, again, I feel more comfortable with him as a wide receiver 3 than a wide receiver 2. That's where I'd sort of rank him for the rest of the season. But if you ask me, am I buying or selling him as a usable fantasy asset, I am buying that.
Yeah, I think I feel the exact same way about that going forward. I feel the same. You know, the touchdowns will obviously come back down to earth. This passing game could come back down to earth as well. But just an encouraging, impressive win from the Raiders yesterday. We're going to come back and do star disappointments in a minute. But first, crappy promo.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all-about-me promo.
So, this is a very cool thing. And actually, my kid interns for this company, but I'm working with this company called Jetit, and they're a private airplane company, right?
Okay.
And so, what they're doing is they're giving away a free round trip flight
anywhere?
To anywhere in the continental U.S.
What?
On a private airplane.
What?
That, I think that's cool. Like, I think it is very cool.
I could fly all the way to Hartford from
you
here.
You could fly to Farmington from here.
From Bristol?
Yes, 100%. You and Chapin, whoever you wanted to bring. You could.
Our honeymoon has not yet taken place.
There you go.
Tell me.
Find a craft brewery somewhere in America.
I'm in.
So there you go. You could potentially win this. Here's what you do to win this. 100% free to enter. I just think it's very cool. So you have to follow @GoJetIt_ on Twitter. Not the most easy Twitter handle, but follow @GoJetIt_ on Twitter. Use the #JetItContest, and then you basically tweet at them what your most memorable travel story is. Because
find my way from Farmington to Bristol.
There you go. Be a very good story. Right. So they make travel memorable. Anyway, so I'm working with them, if you look at my Twitter feed or if you go to their Twitter feed, you can see, again, more of the contest details there. But anyway, my friends at GoJetIt doing this contest, and I think it's pretty cool.
Very cool. That is pretty cool. I am going to enter that contest and probably not win.
Yeah. So the company's called Jetit, I should say, but their Twitter handle is @GoJetIt.
All right, Jetit, I'm coming for you. Star disappointments here, Matthew. Here's how it's going to work.
Yeah.
I'm just going to name the names, okay? And if you actually are disappointed, like to the point that you would do something about it, I want you to chime in. Otherwise, we dismiss, okay? Simple as that. DeAndre Hopkins, week 4, 5 catches for 41 yards. He's wide receiver 21 for the season.
Not worried about it.
Not worried.
I mean, I get it.
Here's what I would say, though.
49 receiving yards per game and zero touchdowns the last 3 weeks. He's wide receiver 48 over the last 3 weeks after having a huge week one. I still ultimately have to believe in the talent
the
of
play,
this player.
The play here, try to buy low right now with DeAndre Hopkins. One quarter of the way into the season. Somebody's 0-4 or 1-3 with DeAndre Hopkins. Make them a 2-for-1 offer. Two usable pieces for their one DeAndre Hopkins. Love that strategy right
now.
By
the way, look at his upcoming schedule, right? Falcons at Kansas City, at Indianapolis, home to Oakland.
Good
Not
stuff.
A
yeah.
pass defense there that scares you at all. DeAndre Hopkins should eat over the next 4 weeks. And I would agree, by the way, with Deshaun Watson as well. If somebody in your league
Panics.
Is panicking
yep.
about him as well, I think both guys are terrific by lows.
Odell Beckham Jr., 2-for-20 yesterday.
Yeah. And by the way, as we've talked about it, right?
Not worried, right?
I'm not worried. I'm
yeah,
not
same,
worried.
Same.
I mean, like, I will say, like, it may get tougher before it gets easier. Minnesota next week and then at New England. Right, boy, that'll be fun. Beckham versus Gilmore.
Yeah, that'll be cool, actually.
That will
really
be
good.
That will be fun to watch. But then Arizona at Detroit, home to Dallas. Like
San Francisco next, by the way, for the
for the Browns. Yeah, Monday night, and then
yep.
yeah, right, of course.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I'm not worried about Beckham. Ultimately,
okay.
I think ultimately he will be fine. Wide receiver 24 for the season, so not great, but not, you know.
Julio, 4-for-52 yesterday, but of course not. Wide receiver
Stop
4
it.
For the season. Stop it.
Moving on.
Adam Thielen. This is kind of interesting. Not because of Thielen himself, but 2 catches for 6 yards yesterday. Wide receiver 38 for the season. I think this one is a conversation people are thinking about right now. Again, not Adam Thielen's doing, but yesterday he called out his quarterback essentially and saying, like, at some point you have to be able to throw the football. Both Thielen and Diggs. I know Diggs had a nice game yesterday. Interesting time right now, Matthew. Interesting time is all I'll
say. Well, look, they have yet to have a game where both guys went off.
Yep.
Right? So Diggs had the big game last week. Thielen's had a couple of nice games here, but they have yet to have a game where both guys, like the only consistent fantasy player on the Vikings is Dalvin Cook.
Right.
Otherwise, this has been sort of like, you know, catch as catch can. And Kirk Cousins, who, when he was in Washington, was consistently a top 10 fantasy quarterback, like, isn't even rostered in leagues or shouldn't be.
He's not.
Like, not even in two
yeah.
quarterback leagues. Like, I mean, just they're so
barely
they're
in two quarterback
so
leagues.
Run heavy. And so I think it's a little concerning. Like, so because of the volume, so through 4 games he's got 13 catches. I mean, this is a guy who averaged 10 catches a game through the first 4 weeks of last year. I mean, like, the volume
it's
is down.
It's a problem. It's
like,
a problem. I guess what I don't like to do for audience is to tell you about the struggles of a star and say,
not tell you what to do.
Hey, you can't do anything. Like, you can't trade him and you're just going to keep playing him. All I am going to say is I'm keeping a very close look on this Vikings offense for the next 2 to 3 weeks. There has to be some sort of reckoning one way or the other.
Here's what I would say. I would be, if I had Adam Thielen on my team, I would be willing to trade him. I'm not, quote, selling low,
mm-hmm.
but I would be open to trading him. Their schedule gets easier.
That might be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because when they've had good matchups this year, they've barely thrown it.
Right, but like, so I believe this is correct. I think I wrote this down right. But right, I think they play the Giants this week.
Yes.
Right? I think
that's
right.
Correct.
So they play the Giants, then the Eagles.
Like that.
Then they're at Detroit. Home to the Redskins.
Like that.
At Kansas City.
You like that?
So, right, like Kansas City, they'll be able to, you know, Kansas City's going to be able to put up points, right? Redskins, they might just dominate. But at Detroit's, you know, been, Daniel, close your ears, earmuffs. Detroit's been pretty good this year.
Yeah.
And
good team.
Right, Philadelphia's a good team just with a bad secondary. And the Giants, like, so it's going to be a better schedule. But I think if I were re-ranking for the rest of the season, is Adam Thielen like a borderline wide receiver one that he was coming into the year? No, he's like a borderline
wide receiver
two or three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's like in the, I probably would rank him somewhere in the 20 to 25 range, you know,
right.
18 to 22 range. I haven't really set him and Diggs. Who would you rather have rest of the season?
I guess Thielen because he's had
right.
more consistent production so far. Yeah. But that's super damning with faint praise right there.
Come on. I released Stephon Diggs this week and
you
look
know what?
At what he did.
Have a nice day, Daniel.
I mean,
that's a good
come
point.
On.
We did release Stephon Diggs last week.
That's
Way
true.
To go, Daniel. Last one here. This
so,
is a troll job.
Anyway, so if I could get top 20-ish value,
I'd do it.
I would be willing to trade Adam Thielen. If I get lower than that, I'm willing to stick it out and hope things get better. Because the Vikings know this is not ideal.
Agreed on that.
They will fix it.
Last one here, and this is the shortest segment in the history of the 06-0-0. Patrick Mahomes.
Nope.
What?
Now, come on. Did we anoint Patrick Mahomes too early? Because the Detroit Lions held him without a passing or a rushing touchdown. Maybe we should just talk about how good the Detroit Lions defense
is. I'll just say this. I would just say, and I know, whatever. This is not about Patrick Mahomes. Matt Patricia can coach himself some defense.
Yeah,
that Lions team is going to be frisky throughout the year.
I would just like to point this out that last year, when Daniel went to Detroit and was hanging around, like they were brutal last year.
Right.
Then the 06-01-0 goes to Detroit. Right. Me and you go to training camp when we did a live show in Detroit. You and I spent time with the players. You and I interviewed players. We talked to them. We hung out. We hobnobbed. Exactly. Yep. We rubbed elbows. Right. We schmoozed. We
drank coffee.
Right. 100%. And now all of a sudden they're good. So, I mean, I think if you look at what with me and you, suddenly they're great. With just Daniel, they're terrible. So, I mean, it's science.
Another reason for you to join the bandwagon, Matthew Berry.
There you go, Matthew
Berry. They should make the appeal for me to do so, but not yet.
Last couple of segments here, or last couple of topics here. Let's begin with Will Dissly. He was added in a bunch of leagues, but he was still started in less than half of leagues, Matthew. He's available in 36 in total still. It's hard to find tight ends, and it was a great matchup last week against the Cardinals.
Sometimes chalk works out.
It does, but you know something, Matthew?
Yes, sir.
Maybe it's more than just the matchup last week for Will Dissly.
I
watched that game closely. There were only, four games going on during the late afternoon window. And the Seahawks, they convincingly beat the Cardinals. But if you watch, it's clear. Now, maybe it's because they have less depth at tight end after trading Nick Vanette. But again, you trade Nick Vanette because you have confidence in Will Dissly. Is he going to be a top 10 play every single week? He may not finish as one, but he will consistently rank as one until given plenty of evidence otherwise to not have him there.
We like the offense, right?
We do. Yeah.
We like the offense. We obviously like the quarterback. Well, Will Dissly played 78% of snaps yesterday. He ran a route on 59% of Russell Wilson's dropbacks. He's now scored in three straight games. He's got four touchdowns in those last three games. Okay. He's got a touchdown and five catches in three straight games. The last six tight ends to do that field all finished the season as a top four fantasy tight end. You think about his catch count as you go through this season, right? So started at 1, 5, 6, and 7. Remember, this is a guy that had a serious injury last year. So he's rounding back into form. He's caught over 86% of his targets this season. So there's a trust there with Russell Wilson where he knows, if I get it to Will Dissly, he's coming down with it. And so you think about just sort of historical numbers with this position, which is sort of weird. Over the past five seasons, so pretty large sample size. Over the past five seasons, 70% of the tight ends that were a top 10 tight end after 4 weeks finished the year as a top 10 play at the position, right? So kind of stabilizing ranks. If you can perform over, especially because there's such little depth of position.
Right.
If you can perform through the first 4 weeks of the season, you've got a much better chance than average at finishing the year as a top 10 guy. 70% over the last 5 years, Will Dissly currently the sixth best tight end in fantasy. All in on Will Dissly. Have him in a dynasty league. He's a talented guy. And if you look back at the numbers from last year before he got hurt, also impressive.
Yeah, he was. I mean, they've liked this player. They traded Nick Vanette, as I just mentioned a moment ago, and they're playing a ton of 11 personnel. One tight end, one running back, three wide receivers. We are in on Will Dissly. Perhaps the most entertaining game of the weekend was an affair that wasn't quite back and forth. The Bucs always had the lead, but it felt like it was back and forth because the gap narrowed so frequently between them and the Rams. 95 points scored.
I'm not a big gambling guy, but I believe the over hit.
Yes, it sure did. 55-40 was the final score. And an emotional day for the Bucs. Their general manager, Jason Light, lost his father unexpectedly on Saturday. Condolences to him, a good man. And I tell you what, I'm sure he was very, he and his father watching down, very proud of the effort because a lot of the players that Jason Light either drafted or acquired in free agency were stars yesterday, including Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, who were absolute playmakers. But it was other guys too, Matthew.
And by the way, I feel so bad for, cause a lot of people, this was just, fantasy heartbreak, because a lot of people put Chris Godwin on their bench because he had missed practice all week long.
He
was a game time decision in a late game. If you had known at 1 o'clock he was definitely playing, you'd have been all right, I'm going to roll the dice.
Yeah.
But tough matchup, on the road, late game, a true game time decision. Like they were, we're going to see how he does. He's missed practice all week with his hip injury. So I think there were a lot of people out there that were like, I don't know.
I had someone ask me on Thursday, Marquez Valdes-Scantling in a great matchup.
Right.
Chris Godwin had not played at all, or not practiced at all that week, and there was legit concern.
Yeah.
Hey, do I just hedge and put MVS in my flex? Sure, seems reasonable enough to me, right? But that's the kind of difficult fantasy decisions that 100%. You face consistently. But
I had Godwin active in some leagues, but I did. I benched him in one or two leagues because of that thing, because I had players going Thursday night where, yep.
So let's talk about the three players that I think actually, again, Godwin, Evans,
Studs. Do we feel your pain is all I wanted to say.
Three other players, though, Matthew, that are kind of interesting.
I see you.
Ronald Jones, for the first time in his career, had more snaps than Peyton Barber in a game.
Yeah.
And you know what? He was good again yesterday. His third game with at least 70 rushing yards this season.
Mm-hmm.
19 for 70, plus a touchdown. He also had a catch, 15.2 fantasy points. I think I've had Ronald Jones on the waiver wire column every week this year. Is he becoming the guy?
I don't know how he's not. I mean,
I think, you know,
Peyton Barber's still in the mix, and it's still a pass-first offense, so you don't love that. But we're going to start getting into these bye weeks, if you say, where it's going to get ugly, and where
really
you need
ugly,
live bodies. So he's a guy that's going to touch the ball and should touch the ball more as this offense gets more and more in sync, and they start looking more at the film. Last 2 weeks, he's actually a top 18 running back.
Yeah, he's been
last
good.
2 weeks. So,
yeah.
And by the way, just from the... from the film, right? Just watching it, like Peyton Barber looks like just a guy to me. I think there's something there with Ronald Jones that isn't there with Peyton Barber. That is my take on those two players.
No, I agree. 37th overall pick versus an undrafted player. And not that the NFL always gets it right there, but just a reflection of how they were thought of coming out of college. Here's what I think Ronald Jones is. He is the ideal. And as a matter of fact, the waiver wire column this week, not a lot of great waiver ad options, but what there are a decent amount of are players that need to be rostered in more than 50% of leagues, but also probably need to be on benches right now. And Ronald Jones is a good example of that. I'm not saying you should definitely start Ronald Jones next week against the Saints. As a matter of fact, I probably wouldn't be starting him, Matthew. But he needs to be rostered in all leagues because of the possibility that he gets unlocked. Same thing with someone like Corey Davis, who we did not talk about earlier, but had a nice game. Players like that who need to be rostered in more leagues.
Yeah.
So Ronald Jones should be picked up. On the other side of it, Matthew, should O.J. Howard be dropped? O.J. Howard in a game, 95 points!
Dude.
95! And he had three catches for 33 yards.
Dude, in a game in which Jameis Winston threw the ball, how many times? 50 times? Something? I mean, like, it was insane, his actual numbers, right? In a game in which...
I know Jared Goff threw it 68 times.
Right, correct. Jameis Winston threw the ball 41 times.
41!
And I mean, so in a game in which Jameis Winston threw four touchdown passes, threw 385 yards, attempted 41 passes, O.J. Howard, 3 for 33.
Cameron Brate had a touchdown.
Yeah. And by the way, Cameron Brate had two touchdowns called back in week one. They were both on the same drive, so you can't say it was two. So like if one had counted, obviously the other one wouldn't happen. But still, like Cameron Brate's been the is actually tied with O.J. Howard for tight end 26. For the season as we head into Monday Night Football. So there's nothing that gives you, nothing you've seen so far this year gives you confidence in O.J. Howard. What you were banking it on is you're banking it on the offense and his talent. That what you saw at Alabama, what you saw glimpses of last year, that the talent of O.J. Howard ultimately kicks in. And as this offense continues to get better, as they continue to get more comfortable with Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich.
This would be a great time for someone to dig up like the 30th best tight end at the end, at the one quarter mark of last year. Or conversely, a guy who was ripping it up after four games who faded into obscurity to remind us all that, although we do have a sample size now, because I believe one quarter of the season is a sample size, things can change. But no way to put it other than that O.J. Howard has been a grave disappointment. There are just so few tight ends available to replace him with.
That's the problem, right? Is this just the position? Like, there's just not that many guys out there that have the upside of O.J. Howard, that have the physical tools and skills that he has, that has a fantasy-friendly offense around him and a quarterback that can get him the ball. So that's the problem. But then you look here and it's like, guy hasn't gotten more than five targets in a game, has yet to have a double digit fantasy point game. Where at what point do you like, so now you're like, okay, fine, I'm not going to drop him. But then what do you do with him? Are you starting him?
You can't roster two tight ends, can you?
You're not feeling, you don't feel great about rostering two tight ends and you're not feeling great about starting him. So like,
rock in a hard place.
It depends on your situation. I think what I would do is, here's what I would say. I would not feel great about dropping him, but I would get it if you did.
If you need to, I totally get it.
And I don't think he is a must hold. Like if you need to drop him, I'm okay with it. If you can hold on to him for a little while longer as their schedule gets a little bit easier, I would try to do that if you can. But if you can't, I understand. Like, you know what I mean? And I'd rather take the chance with OJ Howard. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'd rather take the chance with OJ Howard than, you know, trying to like then saying like, oh, hey, maybe Gerald Everett's a thing now, you know, whatever. Right. I mean,
so do you know how on like some email platforms they have autofill, like you start to type a sentence and they fill out the rest of it.
Yeah.
I feel like when we start addressing OJ Howard on the podcast, when he disappoints again, it should be as simple as like autofill OJ Howard. Hey, he's been bad. There are so few good tight ends. You don't necessarily want to drop OJ Howard, but if you need to, we get it. And end sentence right there, because that's kind of where we're at. Yeah. We've been in there for four
weeks
now.
Here's what I would just say. The one thing I would say is if you drop OJ Howard, just go in with the idea of like, hey, there's a chance he could, you know, get it together and pick it up, and it is what it is.
Right.
Like, this just happens. Sometimes you drop players and then they go off and they're on somebody else's team, and it's frustrating, but it is what it is. So that's what I would just say. Just be prepared for that. On the other hand, you don't want to carry dead weight for this whole time. So it depends on where you are too, by the way. If you're 1-3, after 4 weeks, like you can't wait around for OJ Howard. Like
you can't wait to say, listen, the time has, we are past time to continue to just wait around. If your team is struggling out of the gates.
Can I ask a real quick question?
Yeah.
If just in looking at tight ends that are rostered in under 50% of leagues, would you rather have Eric Ebron over OJ Howard?
I mean, he scored yesterday, but I feel the same. Like he also had three huge drops.
It was brutal. But you know what? I think I would, because I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
I've seen Eric Ebron be a relevant fantasy tight end. I've seen him be more of a relevant fantasy tight end this season and last season than O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard had flashes last year, but Ebron was obviously better. And we know the touchdown regression is coming. But, you know, yesterday was fluky, of course, because it's a, no T.Y. Hilton. And it's certainly an offense that runs a lot more. This is an offense that's going to throw. Tampa Bay is going to throw. But they also... That one's a tough one.
I've got one name that I see on this list. I know we got to go here in just a second. One name that I see on this list that would intrigue me for the upside more than O.J. Howard. Noah Fant, who coming into yesterday, I think had 9 catches for 99 yards. So if I do the math quickly, that will be 6.6 points per game. He had a touchdown yesterday on a nice long screen pass, 29 yards, I believe it was.
Look good.
That will be about the only player, along with Benjamin Watson, who does come back from suspension this week, after serving four games.
I was going to say that.
Hang on. What about Chris Herndon?
Yeah, Matthew.
He's not back this week. Herndon is out. Here's the reason why.
Because they had a bye last week. It's four games, so he's going to miss
games,
week 5.
And what if Sam Darnold's not there in week 5? Which it doesn't sound like it's a guarantee. If you have Luke Falk plus Chris Herndon, still a problem.
Herndon's not playing until week 6.
Right.
So I'm just saying, like hang on to O.J. Howard one more week and grab Chris Herndon and hope. I'll give you one other guy that I think is sort of interesting. Like this is, you know, but how about James O'Shaughnessy?
Scored yesterday.
Like only 1 for 18, but scored yesterday, scored in week 3 against the Titans, 4 for 28 in week 2. Like feels like he's starting to come on a little bit more. Seems like there's a little bit of a connection with Gardner Minshew. So, James O'Shaughnessy is somebody that like I've rostered in our dynasty league that we're all in, and like some deeper like tight end premium leagues. So anyway, that's a guy that's sort of, you know, kind of interesting. I've seen T.J. Hockenson dropped
in a
decent amount of leagues.
He left yesterday's game, obviously, because of a concussion. So we'll see whether or not he's available for the Lions when they come back from their bye. They're also on a bye this week in week 5. It's desperate times for tight ends. So
but he's
largely
out there in like 32% of leagues, you know.
All right, some examples there. We'll be back tomorrow with more waiver wire pickups. In the meantime, the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus is out later on today. We will talk to you guys on Tuesday for a Monday Night Football recap of Bengals, Steelers, waivers, injury updates, and so much more. We'll see you.
For @Field Yates, I'm Matthew Berry, TMR. Peace out.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guide. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay. And you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate. Cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host and everybody knows his name. He's feeling.